the sixth meditation. It is finished. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. As we continue with the idea of digging deeper, we can look at this passage and say, well, this is right before he died. His life, it's over, it's done, it's finished. The passion is finished. This agony that he endured, okay, it's done. But there's more to it than that. So all Lent, we've been talking about the Jewish roots of the Eucharist and the Passover and how they all tie together. Just last week, we were talking about the Passover and how there were four cups at the Passover. The cup of sanctification, the cup of proclamation, the cup of blessing, and the cup of praise. And we heard about how after supper, Jesus took the cup and he blessed and he said, "This is my blood which is given for you." And then they sang hymns, the Hallel Psalms, the psalms we heard proclaimed last night as we stripped the altar, symbolizing our Lord's betrayal and his imprisonment. And they left. And they headed for the Garden of Gethsemane. And what was striking there is that Jesus didn't drink the fourth cup. In fact, he said, "I will not drink of the cup again until I drink it in my kingdom." And it was tradition, we heard, for the pious women of Jerusalem to bring wine with frankincense in the wine. This was thought to be an anesthetic. It was thought to be a mercy to benumb the senses for one who was suffering, one who was about to die in the most excruciating way imaginable. "Here, take this for the pain." And Scripture specifically says he did not take it. But on the cross, right before he died, he took the bitter wine that they offered him, the vinegar, the sour wine, and there he drank. That was his cup of praise. That was his cup that proclaimed the glorious work that God had done. He put that off. He could have done what everyone expected and finished the Passover at the Passover meal. But he didn't. He waited. He waited till he was almost dead. Till he was almost given up, knowing that the very next thing he was going to do was die. He says, "It is finished." And in doing so, he says, "The Passover is over. The Passover has finished." And in that, he united the cross to the Passover and showed that he was the Passover lamb. And we can proclaim that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us because he said, "Now the Passover is over." That which began thousands of years ago, that which led us to escape Egypt in our bondage there, now leads us to escape sin and death because he brought them together. It was intentional that he didn't drink that cup until right before he died, right before the victory over sin and death was achieved. He intentionally postponed that act. And as we were meditating on the gospel in preparation for this, I know that we didn't just focus on the one verse or the five or six words that each of us had, but we thought about the gospel as a whole. In this, I was thinking about Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. These were men who were part of the council. They were part of the Sanhedrin. They had gone to visit Jesus. They had seen him before. Nicodemus was there when God talked to him, when Christ talked to him about the need to be born again. Later on, when the Jews were ready to kill him, he said, "Our laws are in place that we can't condemn a man to death without reason. We don't have any right now." Scripture tells us that Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man and a member of the Sanhedrin, and that he did not consent to what the Jews had done in their kangaroo court that executed Jesus. But there's a big difference between not consenting and standing up against. And after Jesus is dead, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they decide that that's their time to act. One goes to Pilate and asks for the body. The other goes and prepares spices and ointments for burial. They take Jesus down, and they lay him in a tomb which Joseph of Arimathea had purchased. A tomb in a garden. They waited till after he was dead to act. They put off following Christ. We don't know why. Maybe it was because they were worried for their family. Maybe because the Jews had declared that anybody who followed them would be put out of the temple. We don't know why, but they didn't do it. They postponed what God was calling them to do until it looked like it was too late. He was dead. So much for this Messiah. Of course, it's not true. They're recorded as having done a tremendous act of mercy, an act of love, an act of compassion, having cared for the body when the message was thought to have been lost. None of the disciples did that. None of the apostles were there. They'd all left, except for John, who was now taking care of the Virgin Mary. It was these men who decided then that they would act, and they would bury Christ. And upon his resurrection, as the story spread throughout the world, their deed of love, their deed of charity and mercy spread throughout the world and throughout history. So what is it that you're putting off? Are you putting it off because God's called you to do it? For some amazing purpose? To unite the Passion and the Passover? Or are you putting it off because you're afraid? Because you don't know what will happen to your finances or your reputation or your home or your family? What are you putting off? Have you put it off to the point where you think it's too late? What's the point now? Why bother? It's over. In Christ, it's never over. He raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. He came back from the dead after 3. It doesn't matter how dead you think your dream, your mission, your call is. If we've been buried with him, we'll also rise with him. Our dreams, our calls, our plans, they're not dead yet either. We can rise with him. We can accomplish what he's called us to do. We can fulfill those purposes even when we'd come to the conclusion that it was too late. Because in Christ, it's never too late. So what is God calling you to do? What have you put off? And why are you putting it off now? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.